War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us on 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m. and on our ESPN Pensacola mobile app. Bill Clark and Austin Price here in the studio with you. All right, so want to get this out of the way first, Bill, because this is, of course, very important. We always say that this show is brought to you by Coach and Force Steakhouse. You can find them on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flags Speedway. But also, we do have a new sponsor that we want to give a shout-out to, O'Reilly's Irish Pub, home of the weekly Auburn football watch parties. And, Bill, you'll give us some details on that. But O'Reilly's Irish Pub, they are located at 321 South Palafox Street downtown.
At War Eagle, good morning. I am super excited to have this co-sponsor. They have hosted our local organization's watch parties for about 5, maybe 6 years now. They do an awesome job. They're very supportive of our organization. They make things available to us as we need them to accommodate the crowds that we have that show up. Generally, what they do is they give us the entire upstairs. We turn the four pool tables into dinner tables, put chairs around them. We have our own wait staff usually. We have all the TVs and the sound system on the game. The watch parties can number anywhere from maybe 30 is about average on the low end. Our average attendance is more like 60. We've had as many as 120 up there. I can remember the Penn State game, the first year we played Penn State several years ago, and it was a night game away. We had well over 100 people upstairs. So they really do a good job of supporting our local organization. It's the Greater Pensacola Auburn Club. You don't have to be a member to come to the watch party. Anybody that's an Auburn fan can come up there because everybody up there is bleeding orange and blue.
Right.
So we have they do some drink and snack specials just for us. It's generally I'm there at least half hour, 45 minutes before game time getting things set up. We do raffles. We give away little swag, Auburn swag. We just love having new people show up, and we always love seeing familiar faces show up at the games. So I'm super excited that they came on board and are co-sponsoring this program. Coaching Four has been super supportive of our organization for a long time. O'Reilly's has as well. It's just how awesome is that to get both of them on board?
Yeah,
in the same season, and considering we're not having the expected season that we would like to have, it's still nice that these people are supporting us and backing us, and because they were there during the great times, and they're obviously supporting us when we're struggling a little bit.
Right.
So, but I'm glad to have them on board, and War Eagle.
Yes, absolutely, and I appreciate what you said there about the inclusiveness of this whole watch party concept, because you'll hear people that are devoted sports fans, and they'll be part of these watch parties, and sometimes people can be really snobbish and stuff, and it's like, man, if you're, as you said, you're bleeding orange and blue, go by O'Reilly's and join those watch parties. And, of course, if you're going by Coach and Force Steakhouse, saddle up to the bar, get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. So we're firing on all cylinders here. But you know who else is, Bill? You know who else is firing on all cylinders?
I think Auburn, you know, basketball.
Darn straight. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I know this is a football program, but we're going to start off this segment with the Auburn basketball because...
Well, we're coming off a bye anyway.
We have had one spectacular opening week for Auburn basketball. We beat Houston at Houston 74-69. And that was with Auburn ranked 11 and Houston ranked number 4.
Yeah.
And there was a little bit of turmoil, controversy on the way to the game. Two of the Auburn players, bench players, got into a fight on the airplane. They had to turn the airplane around, take them off the airplane, take the team to Houston. So they were already fighting this controversy that was already broiled up in all the chat rooms and people talking about it possibly being a big distraction going into a game that against a top five team.
Yeah.
And it ended up not being a distraction. That's what good coaching can do.
Yeah, no nonsense.
He took care of the problem. He got his players back on track, got them refocused. They went there. They accomplished what they set out to do, which was beat the number 4 team on their home court. and deal with that distraction when you get back home, which he did. Both of those players were dealt with, and I haven't really heard a whole lot more about it. It's kind of one of those things that
kind of hush-hush.
Yeah, once the dust settled, it's kind of a done deal. And then they played last night against Kent State, but Kent State was 2-0 coming into the game, but they really didn't play anybody. We were a 20-point favorite. We never trailed in the game. As a matter of fact, I think we were ahead 10-0 until Kent State finally scored. Kent State did narrow the score to 4 about 3 minutes into the second half, but that was partly due to a technical foul that was called at halftime that was happened on the court after the buzzer sounded, and they put their best shooter up there, and he drained 2 technical foul free throws.
Yeah.
Got the inbound pass, drove it straight down, did a little pull-up shot outside the three-point line, so he had 5 points inside of 30 seconds in the start of the second half. So
Makes you sweat a little bit.
Yeah, Auburn started on their heels in the second half, but then they came back, exploded. Final score 79-56. We were predicted, it was a 20-point spread for us, so we, cleared 24 points there. We had 4 players with double-digit points, 2 of them with 18 points, 2 with 12. Janiah Broome, who is still arguably the best player in NCAA, had 12 rebounds, 4 assists, 18 points, and I know of 2 blocks. I think he may have had 3. Mm. He was a monster on the court. Chad Baker Mazzara stepped up, played a great ball game. The 2 guys that we brought in out of the transfer portal for this season, Pegues and Pettiford, they both stepped up and played well. All the bench players that played were contributors on the court, either defensively or offensively. I know Kent State had at least 7 possessions in the second half where they came away with absolutely nothing. The ball was either taken away or they were forced to make bad shots or the shot clock ran out on them. I know 3 in a row the shot clock ran out on them. Mm. So, Auburn's basketball defense, when they play man-to-man, is just – It's monstrous. I love it because our bigs are playing great. The bench players are playing great. Our transfers are playing great. It's just going to be a great season. We're ranked number 5 now. So we went from 11-5 after the Houston win. The game's coming up. We're playing Duke and Iowa State, and they're both ranked. And those 2 games are coming up in the next 2 weeks. So, it doesn't get any easier. But it's exciting because we're playing against ranked opponents, which means it means a lot.
Yeah.
We got a long way to go to March, but I've got a great, warm, fuzzy orange and blue feeling about this basketball team, and I love it.
You're listening to War Eagle Weekly on ESPN Pensacola. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you. Bill, talking about the Kent State game, I told you before we went live, this after beating Houston like you did, it was a hard-fought win, big win to start the year, and it's games like Kent State where you kind of expect a team to slip up a bit. They're an unfamiliar out-of-conference opponent, and you kind of maybe you sleep on them after a big win, hangover game as they call them. But no, as you said, ton of depth, ton of defense. Sounds like they didn't give Kent State an inch. Sure, Kent State had that tiny swing to start the second half, but that don't matter when you never lead and Auburn wins by more than they were even expected to. Duke and Iowa State are going to be some tough tests. It sounds like Auburn has one of the toughest out-of-conference slates, but it doesn't seem like it's something you guys can't handle.
Well, if this team plays like what they've shown that they can play, I've got a really, really good positive feeling about it. The only downside is the games at Iowa State and Duke are away games. So yeah. We're going to we're not able to bring our entire fan base, because if you watch that game last night, the student section is so much fun to watch them because they really go all out for basketball. And Auburn was never a basketball school. I mean, we had Charles Barkley and
Chuck, you had Chuck moments. Person.
We had flashes where we had a good basketball program. But ever since Bruce Pearl's been there, I want to say he's been there 9 years now, maybe more. But, 4 trips to the tournament, 1 Final Four appearance, and recruiting number one recruits, number, you know, five-star recruits, shooters. It's so much fun to watch.
Yeah. And as you said, it's especially so when the football program is in a rut right now. We've talked about some of the promising future they have because you guys just flipped another recruit, correct?
Yes. Yeah, I'll have to look him up and see who it was. But, yeah, we flipped one more recruit from Alabama, I believe. And the big thing is
– that's got to sting.
Even with the record that we have, we're holding on to the big recruits we already have. Deuce Knight is still on board. All the other recruits are – all the chatter that I'm reading about the football program and the recruits and the future of the football program is everything's still intact. They all still believe in the program, which means the package that was presented to them and sold them on coming to the school, everything that they were that they looked at and were excited about being a part of is still there.
Yeah.
So that none of that's changed, but that doesn't mean things can't change before the end of the season. But I like that. All the lack of performance on the football field isn't translating into negative things in our recruiting environment for the upcoming seasons. So I'm looking forward to things getting better.
Yeah.
It's just – it's kind of – Auburn's always – I'm an Auburn guy. I'm going to root them on even if they –
no matter what.
Even if they have a winless season, I'm still an Auburn fan. But it's just, you know, to go from – a national championship in 2010 and another appearance in the championship game in 2013. Now I have expectations.
That's true.
And I'm not seeing the things happen that are living up to what my expectations are.
Hopefully that can change.
But it gives me hope.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking great in basketball right now. Your football team, it does seem like it has a bright future, even with the struggle this year. And speaking of the struggling, I don't think we're going to see it this week. We'll touch more on this, and when I say we'll touch more on it, I mean we will touch on it essentially as much as we can when it comes to Auburn playing ULM. We'll touch on that in our next segment. But, yeah, no, I'm you mentioned the basketball thing. And, yeah, sure, this is a football show currently, but it's especially when Auburn's coming off a bye, we do like to talk about the basketball and some of the other sports. And Auburn, as you said, may not be much of a basketball school by historical image, but it's kind of looking like an everything school here, especially in a couple years if these Auburn football recruits can turn something around.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, exciting news for the future for Auburn football, exciting present for Auburn basketball. We own the men's NCAA golf title.
Equestrian's doing well, right?
Equestrian is top five in the country. The women's golf team is having a good season. I mean,
you beat Florida State in the exhibition game, so a baseball school around here.
Yeah. two exhibition games at Wahoo Stadium 3 weeks ago.
Right.
You know, there's no reason to not be excited about something going on with Auburn. It's disappointing with our football program right now, but we have so many other things that you can focus on and get pride out of being an orange and blue guy.
Absolutely.
Or woman.
yeah, man or woman. Anybody. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse and O'Reilly's Irish Pub. We'll be back shortly.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
War Eagle fans, the big Auburn football watch party is Saturday at O'Reilly's Irish Pub downtown. O'Reilly's is home of the Greater Pensacola Auburn Club and the perfect spot to root your Tigers on. O'Reilly's with TV screens throughout the bar, delicious eats from pub bites to sandwiches, wings, football platters, and full meal fares. Quench your thirst from a huge variety of beers, beverages, and extensive bar selections. The Auburn football watch party, Saturday at O'Reilly's Irish Pub, 321 South Palafox Street, downtown. War Eagle!
Hi, I'm Kelly Clarkson, and I've toured the country dozens of times, and there's one thing I see everywhere: childhood hunger. The sad truth is that 17 million kids struggle with it. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers up surplus food and gets it to hungry kids. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
To help solve hunger in your community and to find your local food bank, visit feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Everyone deserves to live a full life, beginning with a nourishing meal. However, right here in our local Gulf Coast community, 1 in 6 individuals, including 1 in 4 children, face hunger. Feeding the Gulf Coast works with more than 800 community partners across 24 counties along the Florida Panhandle and throughout South Alabama and South Mississippi to help connect individuals with the food they need to thrive. Would you stand alongside us to turn hunger into hope for those who need it most? To get involved or find a food pantry near you, visit feedingthegulfcoast.org.
Hi, I'm Krista Brandt, Northwest Florida Director of Valerie's House. Valerie's House is dedicated to helping children ages 4 to 18 and their families work through the loss of a loved one together. Valerie's House acts as a safe haven to share, heal, and find hope after experiencing the loss of a family member. Valerie's House offers free peer-to-peer grief support groups, which help children connect and build bonds with other kids their age that are dealing with similar experiences. To learn more, visit valerieshouse.org.
The Junior League of Pensacola encourages projects that support women and children's initiatives. Through collaboration and service, the Junior League of Pensacola has served and supported Escambia and Santa Rosa counties for nearly 67 years by taking on tough issues like diaper need awareness and insecurity, empowering and training women to be more effective leaders, and leaving a legacy of service that is ready to confront tomorrow's issues head on is the goal. To learn more, visit pensacola.jl.org.
NFL football on ESPN Pensacola. Sunday, in an NFL doubleheader, the 2-8 Jacksonville Jaguars take on the 8-1 Detroit Lions at 11 a.m. Then at 7 p.m., it's the 4-6 Cincinnati Bengals versus the 6-3 LA Chargers. Catch every pass, every play right here on ESPN Pensacola. Sunday in NFL play, the Jaguars take on the Lions at 11 a.m. Then the Bengals clash with the Chargers at 7 p.m. on ESPN Pensacola.
It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to ESPN Pensacola on 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m., and on the ESPN Pensacola mobile app. Bill Clark and Austin Price here in the studio with you. Also want to remind you that this show is brought to you by Coaching Force Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road. You can find them across from Five Flags Speedway and also O'Reilly's Irish Pub, home of the weekly Auburn football watch parties. They're located at 321 South Palafox Street downtown. All right, Bill, when we left off, we were talking about, dadgummit, we were talking about a little bit of everything. We were talking about some of the recruits that have gone Auburn's way in basketball and football, talking about how well Auburn's basketball has started out with their wins over Houston and Kent State. And then we kind of hinted at this ULM game. And, you know, some people are probably going to hear me talking about this game the way that I'm going to. And they're going to think to themselves, okay, is Austin trying to imply that Auburn could lose this game? Personally, I don't think so. I think Auburn's got this game in the bag. It seems like bettors feel the same. However, I think we should basically look at ULM as a team that hypothetically could beat Auburn. That's how coaches should coach their players to look at them, so I think we should be no different. I can't believe I'm saying this, but there was actually a time in the middle of the season where ULM looked like they would be an upset alert for Auburn. They were 5-1. Their only loss was to Texas. And I think that was in Austin. Now they've lost, I believe, 3 straight. So when you look at ULM, I don't know how much research you've done on them, but first glance, what is it about this team, if anything, that you think could be a threat, at least whether it be early in the game, late in the game, whatever, when it comes to your Auburn Tigers?
Their ability to stop the run game.
They've got a good run defense, huh?
Yeah. I don't know how good it is, but if they are able to figure out a way to stop the run game, then it's going to be a challenge. I mean, that's what happened. That's what happened in the Vandy game.
That is true.
They held our run game to less than 4 yards per carry when we were averaging almost 8 before. You make us one dimensional, and it's going to be an even bigger problem in this game because we're not sure what the quarterback situation is going to look like.
Yeah.
Peyton Thorne did not practice at all last week, trying to nurse the shoulder injury. He injured his shoulder originally in the Cal game, and I just think he's just been playing through it all season. I mean, he wants to be the starter. I know he does. You know, that's what he came to Auburn for. But he didn't practice for the whole week. Walker White and Hank Brown have been practicing with the ones all week.
Right.
So it's kind of I'm thinking Hank Brown's probably going to get the start. Maybe sub Walker White in there, you know, on a rotating basis. I don't know how much playing time, if any, Peyton Thorne gets. If they manage to shut the run game down, then we may see Peyton Thorne come in there, whether he's healthy or not, depending on how the other two or one performs. That's, to me, that is just a great big question mark. I don't know that much about ULM.
Right.
I do know that they, like you say, they started off hot. They're lost to Texas. You can't hold, I mean, you can't pin
judge
that.
Them yeah. Right,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, you lose to a top five team at their place, considering where their program is. It's really going to depend on what their defense is able to do. Auburn's defense is really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you had mentioned the over under is pretty low.
Yeah. It's like 45.
They've got
45 and a half, I think.
Well, and that's pretty low when you consider that Auburn is favored by 23 and a half, I think we discussed.
23 and a half.
Right. Yep. So, yeah, Auburn's been a physical defense against SEC teams. I think they're going to be able to handle the Sun Belt team pretty well.
Yeah, the over and under is 46 and a half.
Yeah.
And Auburn is a 23 and a half point favorite.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah. So that's about what, 30? So, I don't even know what that would be, 36, 13, no. 33-13? It would be something in that ballpark. I'm not good at math, but you get the idea. Blowout. And ULM not scoring a ton. I will say, just to give some context on where ULM typically sits as a program, 5-1, now 5-4, as I said before. However, even with them, if they just never win again, I think 5 wins would tie their second winningest season since 2012. I mean, their last winning season was 8-5 in 2012. That was their only winning season of the 21st century. So we're really talking about a, you know, bottom of the barrel program, even with them having a good year by their standards. So going into Jordan-Hare, this is a team where we've often, and we talked about it before we went live this morning regarding Auburn basketball. Sometimes you just play these games, it's bigger, better talent, and you see it. It's evident. This is going to be one of those games. I think that goes without saying.
I believe that, but I also believe they're motivated because if they get one more win, they're bowl eligible.
Oh yeah, they want to play.
So,
they want to play spoiler.
So they're looking at this as an opportunity.
Yes.
We're looking at it as we've got to get something going, and this is an opportunity to problem solve,
right,
and figure out what's going on and allow some of our other players to get healthy. Peyton Thorne being the main one there. So this is going to be kind of a revealing game on both sides.
Yeah.
I like that it's an early game, 11:45. If it was a night game, I would feel a little less comfortable about it. But
really, Auburn at night, huh?
Well, for some reason, when we play these kind of games at night, historically, it's maybe everybody gets so hyped up so early and the energy is starting to decay, you know, later in the day.
Perhaps, but, yeah.
But this, you know, being a home game and having coming off a bye week, everybody's going to be excited to get back out to the stadium, get back to the Tiger Walk and go through all the pageantry before the game. So the fan base is going to be ready. I'm just not sure what their team is going to look like on the field, and I'm not sure what our team is going to look like on the field. There's too many unanswered questions on both sides.
You're listening to War Eagle Weekly on ESPN Pensacola. Bill Clark, Austin Price here in the studio with you. Yeah, Bill, you're right. You bring up a very good point. ULM is in a position where they are trying to play spoiler, not as much for like, oh, we're trying to knock off some top-ranked team. Not in that context, but in the sense of this would be a huge win for our program. We would make a bowl. We would, yeah, it would definitely kick Auburn while they're down. And as you said, the offensive uncertainty at QB is pivotal. I think even if ULM is good at stopping the run, we're going to see a lot of reliance on Jarquez Hunter. I think the difference in athlete is really going to shine there. I think we're going to see Jarquez really start to carve up this team, especially as the game progresses, if you keep him in for a bit, assuming the game doesn't get out of hand that early. When it comes to the quarterback situation, you and I both kind of theorized that this is probably a situation where Auburn is thinking, hey, we have the room to change quarterback here and to just let Peyton rest up a bit. And that's not just because you've got an easier opponent on your hands. It's because your last 2 weeks just might be the most brutal 2 weeks of the end of anyone's season. You got Texas A&M, then you got Alabama, and that game's in Tuscaloosa. So it's a brutal stretch here. You're trying to rest up, not overlook ULM, but just weigh your pros and cons. This is a team we can handle. Let's just grind it out and move on.
Now, this is a good opportunity, like you say, to get some of the injured folks healthy.
Test out some depth.
Absolutely. Bring in some more of the bench. Let them get some playing time, see what they can do. We already tested that theory defensively in the last several games when we've had all those freshmen starting in the defensive backfield, and they all stepped up.
Right.
There was no drop-off in defensive performance. So the big thing is the quarterback performance. I look for Jarquez not only to run the ball Saturday, but also look for him to be a target.
Really?
For the quarterbacks on the little wheel routes and the little flares around the end.
Yeah.
He's caught quite a few of those already this year. I think he's averaging 2, maybe 3 catches a game, and they all are for positive yards because of his speed. He's able to get around the edge, and if they can get him around the edge uncovered, it gives the quarterback an outlet, you know, a safety net.
Absolutely.
If his 1 and 2 reads are bad, he can look over there and Jarquez, you know, maybe streaking down the sideline with the defender already 2 steps behind him. Just because they're keying on him running the ball so much that they commit to the run and let him get around him and get behind him. That's the kind of offense that I'm looking for out of Auburn this weekend, especially when you're talking about starting a quarterback that only started 2 games this year and had 1 stellar performance and 1 horrible performance.
Right.
You know, it's just it's trying to figure out what these missing pieces are, make them work, and come up with something that's productive on the field. The other thing is we've seemed to have gotten better about not making critical mistakes.
Right.
We're still making carelessness. We still have too many penalties. So we're giving up, you know, averaging almost 100 yards a game. I think it's 90, 91 yards a game in penalties.
Ugh.
But what was killing us before was the critical turnovers, the drive it into the red zone and then turn the ball over, or drive it into the red zone and make a mistake where it sets you back, you know, 15 yards further back, and then you have to try for a 45-yard field goal, and we know where our kicking game is. It's not – we can't rely on it. Even short range, I don't have a whole lot of trust in it right now, and that's not kicking the kicker. Pardon the pun, not kicking the kicker. It's just a victim of circumstance for both of them.
Right.
This is going to be like I said earlier, question marks on both sides of the ball. I want to see us come up with answers to our question marks.
Right.
If we can answer our question marks, the other side of the ball is going to take care of itself.
Well, and luckily, ULM's scoring defense on the rushing end, and when I say scoring defense, I don't mean their defense scoring. I mean the scores that their defense gives up on the rushing end isn't great. I don't know how many yards ULM is averaging rushing yards per game, but they are giving up a ton of rushing touchdowns. They have given up 14 touchdowns on the ground in 4 consecutive games, along with giving up 21 points or more in that same stretch. Half those games saw them give up over 35.
Well, see, that's good for Auburn because that's the strength of Auburn's offense right now.
Yeah,
that's the rushing game.
Exactly, the rushing game, and that's the caliber of defense where you want to see Auburn kind of capitalize more before this brutal stretch coming up. If I had to highlight one player for Auburn on either side of the ball to look out for, it would be Ahmad Hardy. He's a running back. Y'all's defense, very physical. Rushing defense is good. So I don't think he's going to be a big problem. But outside of him, there's not really any statistical star on ULM's offense. So this guy, he's their leader in touchdowns and, of course, rushing yards. He's knocking on the door of a 1,000-yard season. If you can contain him, that's just going to make this game all the more one-sided.
Yeah, our defense, other than being on the field more than our offense, our defense is the strength of our program right now. And they're healthy. They're playing well together. They're well coached. We just got to give them – we got to get them off the field more often and let our offense be take a presence on the field and let them get some more rest, because putting the whole program on their shoulders each game is not the way to win a football game.
No, I agree with you 100%. I know they say defense wins championships, but there's got to be a limit. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Coachin' 4 Steakhouse and O'Reilly's Irish Pub. You can find Coachin' 4 on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flag Speedway and O'Reilly's on 321 South Palafox Street downtown.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coachin' 4 Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coachin' 4 Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
War Eagle fans, the Big Auburn Football Watch Party is Saturday at O'Reilly's Irish Pub downtown. O'Reilly's is home of the Greater Pensacola Auburn Club and the perfect spot to root your Tigers on. O'Reilly's, with TV screens throughout the bar, delicious eats from pub bites to sandwiches, wings, football platters, and full meal fares. Quench your thirst from a huge variety of beers, beverages, and extensive bar selections. The Auburn Football Watch Party, Saturday at O'Reilly's Irish Pub, 321 South Palafox Street, downtown. War Eagle!
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the FHSAA and the Florida Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Health and Hope Clinic provides free health care to the uninsured and the medically underserved in our community. They provide free, primary, preventative, specialty care, dental, and pharmacy assistance with the help of our 330 volunteer doctors, dentists, and nurses. If you or someone you know are looking for medical assistance, please visit healthandhopeclinic.org or call 850-479-4456. Health and Hope Clinic's mission is to provide health and hope to the hurting and underserved.
The Escambia County Healthy Start Coalition is a local nonprofit that directly serves new or pregnant moms and their babies by providing education, support, and interventions to those who are at risk of a poor birth outcome or delay in development. Our fatherhood program, Team Dad, is a free mentorship program that helps develop relationship skills, finance, and overall personal development to help fathers be the best dad they can be for their families. To learn more, visit healthystart.info.
As the hub of visual arts programming and education in Northwest Florida, the Pensacola Museum of Art prides itself on providing art experiences to all individuals in our local community. From semester-long art classes for children, hands-on artist workshops for adults, artist lectures from local and international artists, and a rotating calendar of exhibits throughout the year, we are sure that everyone in your family can enjoy the programming offered at the Pensacola Museum of Art. Learn more by visiting pensacolamuseum.org.
Saturday in college play. UWF takes on Valdosta State at 5:45 p.m. on ESPN Pensacola.
Listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to ESPN Pensacola on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, and on our ESPN Pensacola mobile app. This show, of course, brought to you by Coachin' 4 Steakhouse. You can find them on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flags Speedway. And you can also go by O'Reilly's Irish Pub. They're our other sponsor for this show. Home of the weekly Auburn football watch parties. They're located at 321 South Palafox Street downtown. Bill Clark and Austin Price here in the studio with you. And Bill, when we left off, I can't speak for you, but I know I, for one, was trying really hard to make ULM sound menacing in their game with Auburn this weekend. Fingers crossed I succeeded. But looking at some of these other games going on throughout the SEC, particularly in conference opposition, we've got not only some games that are very indicative of a playoff hunt in the SEC, but also, I think, a couple of upset alerts. Starting with number 3 Texas visiting Arkansas, Southwest Conference rivalry from back in the days of old. You got an upset alert here?
Absolutely. Arkansas is not playing bad football. They're just they've been inconsistent. Texas has looked vulnerable more than once this year. If it were at Texas, I would have a different view of it. But with it being at Arkansas, and is it a day game? Yes, 11 a.m.
Yes, 11 a.m.
I look for that to be a very competitive ball game. What's the line on it? Two scores?
13.5 for Texas.
Yeah, I don't like that line. I could understand maybe a 3.5, 4-point game. I think Arkansas is going to give them a much better game than the 13-point spread.
Man, see, it's games like these where I think, you know, Texas may be scared, but then they either, you know, they either have to deal with a second-half surge or they pull away late. Like, I think of something like that, but you've got it being down to the wire to the end.
Yeah, well, Texas still has somewhat of a quarterback issue, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you don't really know what that's going to look like, especially on the road.
And as you said, you don't know what Arkansas you're going to get. This Arkansas team, it has looked at times like it can compete with some opposition. And they have a winning record. You talked about the importance of fighting for a bowl. That's what Arkansas is doing now.
Yeah, with them being 5-4, this is the game that they're looking at. We can upset Texas and become bowl eligible in the same game and do it at home. I kind of like Arkansas here.
Oh, so are you bleeding towards Arkansas outright?
I kind of am. Yeah.
Wow. I'm not doing that. I will take Texas by a couple scores. I may take them by 12. But I would be really impressed if Arkansas pulled that off.
To me, this is the kind of game that could end up being 23-21.
I mean, I hope you're right. I'd love to see chaos like that. Speaking of something that would be funny to see, Kentucky hosts 1-9 Murray State. Just tell me, Bill, do they have a chance? Does Murray State have a chance?
No, this is one of those games you put on your schedule that to get your kids ready for the next game.
I will give Kentucky credit in one regard. It's going to be beautiful football weather, 57 degrees. That's nice. If I were a Kentucky fan and I knew we had an easy win on our slate, 57 degrees, hoo-wee, I'd be in Lexington faster than you could blink. All righty. Mercer at Alabama. I'm going to set the stage here. Here's the thing about Mercer. They've kind of become that team that you know how people in the South call every soda Coke? Mercer's kind of that team. They call every FCS team Mercer. People always joke about, you're playing Mercer. And the reason why they say that is because of how Alabama has played them. This is like their third time playing Mercer in the last decade. So it's becoming a bit of a rivalry, I suppose. But Mercer, if they were ever going to beat the Tide, it was going to be this year. Mercer's 9-1. I've done some research on them because I do Roll Tide Radio every Friday. Do you think that Mercer's high-powered offense could maybe put up some points on Alabama? Not beat them, but put up some points.
We've seen several teams already this year put up points on Alabama.
Not LSU, but yes, some teams.
No, but I'm saying when teams figure out how to pick their defense apart, they're able to make big plays and put a lot of points on the board. This might be the spoiler, the upset alert for the weekend right here.
Mercer.
I like this matchup, especially with Mercer having such a great season.
You think – wait, you're honestly, like, thinking Mercer could beat Bama?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow. This was not rehearsed. I did not expect that. I am not laughing. I am not smiling.
Well,
I am stunned.
You made the analogy of them being Coca-Cola. I'm looking at them right now as being RC.
Oh, that's cool.
An RC and a moon pie against Alabama? I am all for it.
Yeah, Alabama's Coke and oatmeal cream pie combo ain't going to work now, Saban. You're out the door. All righty, number 22 LSU going to Florida. This game, chaos. I think. LSU just made a joke about them earlier. They got decimated by the Tide in Death Valley. Now they go on the road against a Florida team that I think is a bit misleading. Florida's had some quarterback issues. They are back in the swamp. This is a tight game. Does LSU just kind of look at them as a pushover and kind of sleep on them a bit, or does LSU bounce back and let off some steam?
Oh, I think LSU's going to bounce back. Listening to the program before ours, glass half full, they were talking. He was talking about the Florida quarterback situation. LSU is angry. They're going to come into this game with their hair on fire. Mm. The coach is going to have them motivated for revenge, and it just so happens, unfortunately, to be the Florida Gators that are the next team on the list.
Let the record show, Jordan Glass is also a self-loathing Florida Gator fan. but in all seriousness, it's an interesting perspective. LSU could be looking to make an example.
Well, I mean, you look at the kind of season that Florida's had. They started off really rough. And it was not looking good. Then they turned the program around, got the wheels back on, were starting to see some success, and now it's with the quarterback situation, you're not really sure if the wheels are wobbling or if they're going to roll straight.
Right.
And you don't want to have that kind of problem with an angry LSU coming because of what happened to them last week. They're going to be ready for this game. They're going to be motivated. This is going to be a fun one to watch.
Absolutely. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly on ESPN Pensacola. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you. Yeah, Bill, I look at LSU as they may struggle a bit. Spread only has them by 4. I do have them winning this game, though. I think I've got it being like a 27-17 ordeal. Not a huge high-scoring game, but they win by double digits on the road, and for them that's big.
Oh, I like that pick.
And then we've got number 23, Missouri, at number 21, South Carolina. This has, strangely enough, become a very pivotal game. First of all, did you hear what Elijah Drinkwitz, Missouri's head coach, did you hear what he said after the win over Oklahoma?
No.
He said that he's saying, book it, baby. You heard me right. We're still in the playoff hunt.
Oh, my Lord.
Yes. And I spit when I say that. I'm sorry. But he said that Missouri is still in the playoff hunt, and I don't know. I don't buy that, personally.
Well, they still only have 2 losses.
Yeah, but South Carolina is ahead of them in the rankings with 3.
I agree. I think South Carolina is the better team, but he's not. I know he's trying to motivate his players.
Sure.
Give them something to continue to play better for. But there's going to be a lot of 2-loss teams that are going to be looking to get into the playoffs.
And Mizzou's going to be one of the last ones.
If that's still a 2-loss team at the end of the season, they're going to have an argument to make.
I think the committee's already warning us, though, that it's not going to be a good one. Because we'll soon touch on another 2-loss team that's in jeopardy of not being in the playoffs right now, and there's several spots above Mizzou, but we'll get to them in a moment. South Carolina, as I said, they are 6-3. They're a game worse than Mizzou, but they're ranked 2 spots higher. They are at home, favored by 14. Do you think Mizzou covers that spread? Do you think they keep it closer than that?
Oh, I think Missouri's going to keep it closer than that. I don't like the 14-point spread. I do like South Carolina at home, though.
No, I'm definitely taking the Gamecocks in Columbia for sure. Alrighty, this is the team that I was hinting at earlier. Number 7, Tennessee, goes to number 12, Georgia. Shockingly, Georgia dropped from 3rd to 12th after getting beat up by Ole Miss. They are now 7-2, just like Missouri is. And what was such a bombshell, and Jordan Glass also mentioned this last hour, you can listen to Glass Half Full every weekday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Right here on ESPN Pensacola, by the way. But not tomorrow. He's in Jacksonville. carrying on. Georgia, he noticed the same thing I did. Georgia's 12th, Boise State's 13th. Boise State, if the playoffs were to begin today, they would get an automatic bid as the 5th highest-ranked conference champ, quote-unquote. Georgia would be left out. That is the committee saying, Georgia, you are directly behind Bama and Ole Miss in the polls because both of them beat you. If the playoffs start today, you're not in. This is a make-or-break game for the Bulldogs in Athens, favored by 10. Do you think they get it done, or do you think Tennessee kicks them out?
Oh, man, this is a night game, too.
6:30, primetime.
I think Tennessee is still having some issues with their quarterback as well, undecided on who's going to be their starter.
And if so, that's huge.
That is huge. That's going to be a difference maker for them. I like Tennessee covering the spread, but I don't think they're going to win this game.
You know, interestingly enough, I had not looked at the spread once all week, but I had my score prediction being Georgia winning by 10. That is how much Georgia is favored by. I've got Georgia winning this game 30-20. And then, unfortunately, we kind of got an anticlimactic finish here. New Mexico State goes to Texas A&M. Texas A&M, they're another two-loss SEC team, still in the hunt. They're 15th. They are hosting the 2-7 Aggies. It's an Aggie-on-Aggie game. That's pretty cool. Texas A&M officially, according to ESPN spread, favored by 39. Do you think Texas A&M can hit that? That's kind of a big gap. That's a hard one to cover.
It depends on how quickly they score. If they achieve 39 before the start of the fourth quarter, then I say absolutely. If they're not quite there yet, I don't know that they're just going to run the score up to achieve that.
Yeah,
that spread.
Just a hollow.
It's one of those. They're either going to achieve that really, really quick, really, really early, or they're not going to embarrass that team in the fourth quarter by running the score up on them.
Yeah, they'll just coast to victory there. Unrelated, but I feel sorry for New Mexico State. I think they won like 9 or 10 games last year. To see them go from to such a fall off is upsetting.
Their quarterback.
Yeah, they lost their quarterback, and did they lose their head coach too?
I don't know if they lost their head coach, but I know where their quarterback went.
Yeah, well, hey, don't worry. I think the Crimson Tide knows where he went, too.
Yeah, every ball team in Alabama knows about that quarterback.
All right, 1048 here. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly on ESPN Pensacola, 99.1 FM, 1330 AM. Brought to you by Coaching Four Steakhouse and O'Reilly's Irish Pub.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coaching Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach'em Four Steakhouse, on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
War Eagle fans, the Big Auburn Football Watch Party is Saturday at O'Reilly's Irish Pub downtown. O'Reilly's is home of the Greater Pensacola Auburn Club and the perfect spot to root your Tigers on. O'Reilly's with TV screens throughout the bar, delicious eats from pub bites to sandwiches, wings, football platters, and full meal fares. Quench your thirst from a huge variety of beers, beverages, and extensive bar selections. The Auburn Football Watch Party, Saturday at O'Reilly's Irish Pub, 321 South Palafox Street, downtown. War Eagle!
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle and here is my spout.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout. Tip me over and
pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Everyone deserves to live a full life, beginning with a nourishing meal. However, right here in our local Gulf Coast community, 1 in 6 individuals, including 1 in 4 children, face hunger. Feeding the Gulf Coast works with more than 800 community partners across 24 counties along the Florida Panhandle and throughout South Alabama and South Mississippi to help connect individuals with the food they need to thrive. Would you stand alongside us to turn hunger into hope for those who need it most? To get involved or find a food pantry near you, visit feedingthegulfcoast.org.
Our mission at the UWF Historic Trust is to collect, preserve, interpret, and share the rich history of Northwest Florida. With more than 30 properties spread out over 9 acres, we bring the history of our region to life. Whether you're enjoying events at the Museum of Commerce, afternoons at the Children's Museum, reenactments at the historic village on Zaragoza Street, or day trips to Arcadia Mill, the UWF Historic Trust is the cultural destination host of Northwest Florida. Learn more at historicpensacola.org. The University of West Florida is one of the largest economic drivers of the Pensacola community. UWF is known for nationally recognized academic programs, championship-winning sports teams, skilled graduates, and more than $1.5 billion in annual sales for the regional economy. By investing in the university, you can invest in the future of your community. Learn more about supporting UWF scholarships, programs, and sports teams by visiting uwf.edu/give.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com. Click on the sales opportunity. ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM is your home for the NFL primetime games on the radio. That's Thursday night football, Sunday night football, and Monday night football. Also, be sure to catch the early games Sunday mornings when the NFL is traveling overseas. So how do you know which games we're carrying? Easy. Just follow us on Facebook / ESPN Pensacola. ESPN Pensacola, all sports, all the time.
It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse and O'Reilly's Irish Pub. Bill Clark and Austin Price here in the studio with you. Bill, we're looking at some of these games that are swirling around the Attic Conference. And the first one that catches my eye, because as I said, there's not a lot of ranked-on-ranked action, but there is some upsets that could be brewing. And one of them that we were just talking about a moment ago, Utah goes to Colorado. Now, Colorado 7-2. They're number 17 in the country, and they've actually got, with one of their losses being outside of conference play, they've got a very real chance at a Big 12 title here. Utah has lost five straight, but they almost beat BYU. But hey, that's a bigger rivalry. It was at home. This is a rivalry, but it's in Boulder, and it's not as big. Do you think Colorado, after that heartbreaking defeat for Utah, Colorado just runs them out, or do you think Utah's looking for some redemption?
I think Utah's going to give them a good game. I'm not sure what the weather's going to be. With it being in Colorado,
it says 46, partly cloudy maybe.
Yeah, I don't know if there's – I know I have family that lives in Denver, and I know it snowed already there
heavily.
They've
gotten a lot.
So I don't know how much snow remains in the area or if they're going to get, you know, flurries overnight kind of thing. That's going to be – the weather's going to play a big part in this game.
I've got Colorado.
Right, I do too. I've got Colorado beating Utah. They look too good, even though there's still a little chatter that I'm hearing about Coach Prime wanting to move on somewhere else.
Well, and I think Utah, speaking
– I don't know if that's going to be a distraction.
Well, speaking of distractions or things that could just add to the weakness of a team here, Utah – they have suffered, I think, another quarterback issue. So they are going to have another face at QB coming into this game, if I'm not mistaken. So you also have to consider that there is nothing that points to Utah winning this game. And I hate to say that because it would be cool to see – because this is a rivalry game historically. It would be cool to see Utah pull that off. I just don't think it's going to happen. Very pivotal game in the ACC here. Number 20, Clemson, goes to Pittsburgh. Now, Pittsburgh really fell out of favor because they lost – badly to SMU, toughest team they faced all year, and they lost at home to Virginia. They're not even ranked now, but they are at home, and they have the same overall record as Clemson, yet Clemson is favored by 10. Do you think that's a bit disrespectful to Panthers?
I don't like that line. Clemson, I think, is going to win the game, but it's going to be much closer than that. It'll be inside of 5 points.
I think Clemson pulls away, actually. I was getting on this hype train talking
about
the Panthers.
Well, Pittsburgh started off really, really hot.
They did.
They were a good-looking team. They have a great offense. It all depends on what Pittsburgh's defense is going to do to Clemson. If they step up and slow that Clemson offense down, it's going to be a lot closer than that.
Yeah, Mumpfield, wide receiver for Pitt, seems to be the leading receiver entering this game. If Clemson contains him, if they just let him – run rampant, well, then who knows? Maybe Clemson will give up a lot of points and this will be a problem. I have Clemson pulling away. I have it being like a 31-17. So they covered the spread. It's not some blowout, but I do have them beating Pittsburgh because I think a lot of Pitt's hype was with a weak resume. Not that they're not a good team, especially at home, but I think Clemson is just a better built program right now. I heard some chatter about this being an upset. I don't know why we keep shooting ourselves in the foot here with this one. Purdue. We talked about upset alert with Oregon. Didn't happen. Upset alert with Ohio State. Didn't happen. They got outscored in those games 80 to nothing. So Purdue now at home against Penn State. Penn State has lost to the toughest team they've played this season. Do you think Penn State loses here, or do you think they cover that 28.5-point spread?
Penn State's going to win, and I do like them covering the spread.
I just think that's a beatdown waiting to happen. All right, this is another upset alert for sure. Number 13 Boise State goes to San Jose State. San Jose State just became bowl eligible. They're 6-3. They have been one of those teams, because I followed them for a couple years now. In recent memory, they've been a depth team in the Mountain West. They're not some great team, but they've been around, you know. They are now at home hosting a Boise State that looked really weak against a bad Nevada school. San Jose State, still a 13.5-point underdog at home. Does this scare you at all?
San Jose State, like you say, they're kind of that scrappy kind of team. They can pull it together when they really want to. I don't see them winning, but I do see them covering.
All righty. I'm kind of in a similar boat, I feel. K-State, this is a pivot. We talked about Clemson and Pitt being a pivotal ACC game. This is a pivotal Big 12 game. K-State hosting Arizona State, both teams 7-2. K-State favored by 8. Do you think Arizona State can play spoiler here, knock K-State perhaps out of the rankings at this point? I'm not sure. Or maybe knock them down to like 24, 25. Arizona State's having a great turnaround year.
Not in Manhattan.
It's in K-State. That's a difference maker. This is once again another game where I correctly guessed a spread. I had K-State 38-30. Well, 8-point spread. So good for K-State. Looks like you're going to win. If this were in Tempe, it would be a different story perhaps. But I'm all for giving K-State the nod there. But I think it'll be a decent scoring game. Then we've got number one Oregon at Wisconsin. Wisconsin playing for a bowl in Madison. Tough place to play. Oregon may be feeling untouchable, getting that God complex. They're 10-0, number one. Do you think they trip up here? They're favored by 14.
I do not see Oregon tripping up here. Their team speed is so much faster than everybody else that they've played. I just don't see Wisconsin, especially looking at the performance that Wisconsin had against Alabama.
That was upsetting. That was a letdown.
Yeah, the Oregon team is gonna score, not at will, but they're going to score on them quite often.
All right. Yeah, I'll take Oregon to win that game as well. And I'll say they win convincingly. Don't know by how much, but they'll take care of business. But it may give them a scare early. We'll see. All righty. Auburn, ULM. Who do you got? Yeah, well, obviously we have Auburn. What's your score?
I see Auburn winning 34-17.
Really? I don't even have it being that close. I got to be in 37-7. I got them just shutting down ULM. So, but either way, convincing. Auburn wins on both sides here. All righty. You've been listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse and O'Reilly's Irish Pub. We'll see you next week, hopefully with the Tigers win.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.